With the bottom paragraph, that's sin is defined as a lack of love. So from A Course in Miracles perspective, it says sin is defined as a lack of love. And since love is all there is, then sin in the sight of the Holy Spirit is a mistake to be corrected rather than an evil to be punished. Our sense of inadequacy, weakness, and incompletion comes from the strong investment in the scarcity principle that governs the whole world of illusions. From that point of view, the scarcity principle, we seek in others what we feel is wanting in ourselves. We love another in order to get something ourselves. That is, in fact, what passes for love in the dream world, which is what the Course calls this world. So there can be no greater mistake than that, loving another in order to get something ourselves, because love is incapable of asking for anything. So that paragraph, if there's any area where a person has a sense of inadequacy, weakness, or incompletion, then that person knows that they are investing in the idea that there's not enough, there's scarcity, and that I'm gonna look for somebody else what's missing in myself, and so I'm gonna fall in love with somebody to fulfill my needs. And he says that's the mistake. He said there's no greater mistake than that, because if it's real love, it's not really capable of demanding anything. So instead of punishing a sin, the Course says that what it really is a mistake that needs to be corrected, rather than an evil that needs to be punished. And that punishment is what goes for correction in the world. In the world, people think by punishing somebody, they've corrected them. So as we all are seeing, that absolutely isn't true at all. I mean, you don't have to be really that deep to look around and know that punishment is not correcting nothing. The crime, everything else we can possibly think of, is not doing anything but increasing. And people are getting longer and longer and longer and longer jail sentences, and more laws are being passed, and still it seems to be increasing. And most of the crimes are committed by people who have already been punished for their previous crimes. So that would seem to show that if punishment was the answer, it wouldn't be happening more, it'd be happening less. It would make a lot more sense to do something to correct the thinking of the person that committed the crime. Am I crazy in saying that? Does that make sense? Now, the part of me that believes in punishment does get some type of perverse satisfaction out of thinking that the person got punished for what they did. I'm willing to admit that there's a part of the mind that thinks that punishment is correction, and is really turned on by that idea that if somebody hurts me, something happened to them. Or they get their own. You know, if I'd be honest and not too spiritual, I'd admit that. You know, that there's a part of me that when someone hurts me and I think it's on purpose, I want them to hurt too. But that still is not correcting the situation that caused them to hurt, seem to hurt me in the first place, right? So if I feel inadequate and I feel weak, it's because I think there's not enough. And so all fear can basically be taken back to the idea that I think there's not enough, that I think I'm going to lose. Okay, that's where jealousy comes from. I think I'm going to lose my mate. If I'm worried about money, it's because I think I don't have enough. You know, if I don't have friends, I think that, you know, I'm lonely, I don't have enough. Got it? I'm upset. I don't have enough peace. So the Course is saying every sense of inadequacy, weakness, and fear that we're going through is coming from a sense of having invested in the idea of scarcity. The wrong mind, which the Course calls the ego, tells us to get somebody to correct someone else or change something on the outside so that we can get this person a situation, a circumstance to fulfill this need that we think we have. So I'm feeling this sense of weakness and inadequacy and loss. What I need to do is get you to fulfill it some kind of way. So actually, I'm not really dealing with the real issue at all, which is my own sense of incompletion and not feeling whole within myself. That's the problem, that I have the scarcity principle in myself. The answer is not for me to get somebody to fill me up, but for me to fill myself up with God and truth and love. See the difference? Okay, I'm aware that I'm weak and inadequate, but I'm gonna get this degree, and then I'm gonna really feel like I'm a great guy. Still haven't dealt with the hole inside of myself, so I get the degree and I'm still miserable. All of us have had the experience, if we've lived on this planet long enough, of getting the things that we thought we wanted and not being satisfied. Because it wasn't the thing that was going to satisfy us anyway. So then it goes on to say on the next page that only minds can really join, and whom God has joined, no man can put asunder. It is, however, only at the level of the Christ mind that true union is possible and has, in fact, never been lost. Okay, the little I, which is the one that's sitting in the chair, seeks to enhance itself by external approval, external possessions, and external love. The self that God created needs nothing. It is forever complete. The self God created in you is safe, loved, and loving. The self that God created in you seeks to share rather than to get. The self that God created seeks to extend rather than project. The self that God created in you has no needs and wants to join with others out of their mutual awareness of abundance. I love this book. It says more in one paragraph than most books say in two or three chapters. Okay, so he says it's only at the level of the Christ mind that we really can join anyway. So at the level of love is where we're joined. And at the level of love in our true identity is the only place we really can join. The physical body never really joins. I can only join with you at the mind level. We can't all join with each other at the physical level. It's anatomically impossible. So physical joining is an illusion. There's no such thing as physical joining. You can only join at the mind, at the level of our true identity, our spiritual identity. And he says, then he goes on to describe how if you're not aware of your true identity, this is what you do. You try to enhance yourself by external approval, external possessions, and external love. So if I'm coming from my lower self, that doesn't mean lower in terms of morals, but this is not my great awareness self. You can tell. What I like about the Course in Miracles after 25 years of working in it is that what it does is it teaches you how to tell the difference between what's true and what's false, what's real and what's not, what's love and what's fear. And just like the one paragraph tells us instantly how to tell if we're dealing with someone in our lives that's coming from the real, or how to tell when we're dealing with someone that's coming from the unreal. In ourselves, too. If a person is coming from their little self, he's already told it. Well, you're talking to a person that's looking for external approval, possessions, and love. So if you're with someone and you're around someone and all they're doing is seeking outside of themselves for approval, possessions, and love, then they're not, in and of itself, they're not in touch with their Christ mind or their love mind. And so then the Course says, well, I'm going to tell you what your real self is like, because what's happened is that you've lost sight of what your real self is like. You're totally in touch with what your little ego is like, and my little ego, which is what? I don't have enough. I'm going to get it from everybody around me. I'm going to seek external approval so I can feel good. I'm going to seek external possession so I can feel good, and I'm going to get somebody to love me. All right. That's the way the mind is in the ego operates. Then it says, now, you have a real self. And your real self operates like this. First of all, your real self doesn't need anything. Well, so far I'm not in touch with that. Then it says my real self feels complete, forever, safe, forever, loved forever, and is loving forever. So far, I seem like I'm more in touch with my little I. Then it goes on to say, my real self is always trying to share. It's not coming into a situation trying to get. It's coming into a situation wanting to share. And then it says, my real self wants to extend and see where we're the same rather than project and see you as being different from me somehow, or take my qualities that I don't like and project them on you. And then he says, if it's your real self, it has no needs. It wants to join with others, but I want to join with you out of my sense of mutual abundance. I'm not trying to join with you so we can get something. I want to join with you because I'm abundant, you're abundant, and we're going to share our abundance. So in that one paragraph, it totally taught us how to tell the difference between the ego and the Holy Spirit, as the Course calls it, or the fear self and the love self. Now, just for a little test, which side did most of you fall on? All those who fell on the Christ, the God, the self that God created, you have no fear about anything, period, at all. Okay, all right. We pray them, so we know we're a bunch of jokers that want to get, right? But we trying to get beyond that at some level. You know what I'm saying? I know it's a part of me that wants. I'm not going to deny that there's a part of me that wants to get. But what puts me on the spiritual path is I want to go beyond that to the self in me that doesn't want to get. So I don't feel like being spiritual is trying to pretend I don't have that part of me. Being spiritual means to admit that I have that little eye that seeks external approval and then want to get in touch with the me that God created. Now that's spiritual growth. And then, like I said last week, the world we see merely reflects our internal frame of reference, our dominant ideas, wishes, and emotions in our mind. Projection makes perception. First we look inside, decide what we want to see, he says, and then we project that outside and we try to make it true. First I decide what I want to see, then I project what I want to see outside, and then I spend the rest of the day trying to make it be the way I think it is. I decide the way I think it is, then I project the way I think it is, and then I spend all day long trying to make it the way I think it is. Okay. Okay, I covered those two paragraphs. Those two paragraphs covered a heck of a lot of stuff. Any questions or any comments? Because when you do that with me, all it does is just help me clarify things that your ego is going to try to use to confuse you and disorient you and make you quit.
Kids are so brilliant.
If we had been taught something like this, I bet you know exactly what we'd be like. What do you think we'd be like?
We'd be dead.
I don't think so. But that's one perception. Anybody else? What do you think we'd be like if we'd only been taught the truth? There you go. Boom. We just be loving peace. I was telling a friend of mine, one of the most common errors that I come across when people's ego is trying to scare them away from the Course in Miracles is that what it tells them all the time is somehow or another the Course in Miracles is telling them that they can't enjoy the physical world. And that they got to give up everything in the physical world. And then when they give up everything in the physical world, then they're just going to go up in this puff of smoke to this other place that they don't really know if they really want to go because they haven't been to Disney World yet. Right? So, you know, I want to go to Cherry Creek Mall. I don't want to go home to God. And I want to have the money to go to Cherry Creek Mall. And I'm going to God, so I have the money to go to Cherry Creek Mall. You know, that's why I used to be. I sought spiritual truth to satisfy my physical comforts. That's what I really wanted was my bills paid, and what I really wanted was my soulmate, and what I really wanted was a successful career, and what I really wanted was to lose weight, what I really wanted was vacation. So I saw God so that I could have the toys and trinkets of the world that I wanted for myself. And I call that looking for being on my spiritual path. And then you learn the laws of manifestation, which is simply that all you have to do is take an idea, focus on it, mix it with feeling and emotion and desire, release it, and it'll manifest and it'll be attracted to you. But if you still don't love yourself, or the Course says you still feel that sense of scarcity, then even when you manifest the thing that you say you want, you still won't let yourself have the peace and the love and the enjoyment of it. So one thing you learn on the path is that, yeah, you can manifest, but manifest doesn't mean nothing if I still haven't gotten in touch with the part of me that's whole. So you switch your focus from manifesting to having a state of mind that could appreciate your manifesting and appreciate the blessings when they show up and use them for the good of you and everyone else. You get manifesting is no big deal. So anybody that's working on manifesting, that's cool, but realize it's still going to be you manifesting. So when you get through manifesting, it's still going to be you. It's going to be you. If you're dysfunctional, you just be dysfunctional in the $500,000 house. You know, if you're dysfunctional, then you should have another person you're attracted to you, and you'll be dysfunctional with that person. Until we get in touch with the self that God created in us that has no needs, which is what it's telling us here, then we're going to make the mistake of joining with other people just to try to enhance ourselves. And so therefore be in fear, because if I need you in order to feel whole, then I'm always afraid that I might lose you and therefore lose that wholeness. So then I become afraid. Are you with me on this?
Yeah.
Okay. And so, yeah, the world that we would live in if we were practicing the truth would be a world of safety and a world of peace and a world of love. Now, if you change your mind and you want to be more loving, what's going to happen is that you will start drawing more and more of that into your own life and more people like that. So even so, you don't have to wait for the whole world to get it for you to be living in a world that's peaceful. Which I love that. Like, my personal world is totally full of love and peace. Everybody else can be telling me about all the stuff that they're going through, because I used to go through that all the time myself before I started applying the Course in Miracles ideas. I was going through it, but my world isn't like that. And I'm seeing Peace Restaurant, and I'm seeing this room, and I'm seeing my car out front, and I'm seeing you sitting there, and I still got my bills to show up, and everything else, just like you do. What I don't have is people in my reality that's antagonizing me, attacking me, not trusting me, trying to give me a hard time, or trying to get from me. They're not there. So I'm still in the world, but the quality of my life has totally changed. And so the Course is about changing the quality, the content. The form is neutral. The form doesn't make any sense. It doesn't matter. You can get a 34 karat ring if you like. It doesn't mean anything. It's no more real than to have a little rubber band around your wrist, is to have a gold bracelet around your wrist. The only thing that matters is the meaning you give it to it. And so I'm not condemning it one way or another. The Course just says it's just a trinket. It doesn't do anything in and of itself. I want to be in a level of consciousness that if something really cool did show up, that I would be able to enjoy it and feel like I deserved it, and that it was cool to have it rather than to feel like I got to sabotage myself because I don't think I deserve it in the first place. So I get the new car and promptly run it up a tree. You know, I'm just being straight up, because that's what a person that doesn't know the truth is going to do. They're going to sabotage themselves every time the opportunity for something wonderful to happen. They're going to blow it. And so the Course is trying to teach us how to tell the difference between when I'm coming from the error mind and when I'm coming from my mind that's sane. That's the whole purpose of it. That's it. But the physical stuff, the material stuff is neutral. It doesn't matter. The Course isn't concerned with it. It's not going to say anything in this book about how to manifest the car. It doesn't care. It doesn't give a hoot about us being a successful anything. All it's concerned with is for us removing any block that will keep us from knowing that we're safe, loved, and loving, and that we're totally abundant and totally okay. That's what the Course is about. It's not about stuff. It's about feeling whole. And once you feel whole, you'll be totally cool with your stuff. And you'll also draw more stuff if you want more stuff. The funny thing about it is most cases when people start to wake up to who they really are, they start getting rid of stuff. They don't want no stuff. It's really funny. It's not saying they might not enjoy stuff, but all of a sudden they'll find themselves mostly wanting to be unencumbered and feeling very fluid and feeling very free. Yeah. But if you choose to have stuff, you'll also have peace with your stuff because you got the correct mind.
Something popped in my head too, and I love the lessons that my boys can teach around that. And my son is such a great lesson in being present. And the other day he was eating his cereal at the breakfast table, and the rest of us were trying to rush around and get ready. And I go in there and I said, "Kid, what are you thinking? We are late. You need to hurry up and eat that cereal." And he looks at me and goes, "I'm thinking, how good this cereal is." What a lesson. He's not worrying about what happened yesterday. He's not worried about where we have to be. He's enjoying that cereal, tasting it. And I was like, okay, finish your cereal.
Exactly. Exactly. It's all about the power of now. It's all about being present. You know, it's funny. Like the Course says, if you already have, you'll never be disappointed and you'll always be happy. Because there's no lack in asking for what you already have. There's only lack in asking for what you don't have. And then it tells us we already have more things than we could ever imagine. We just don't see it. So asking for what you already have is really asking to have the blocks removed to the recognition of what you already have. So then you're going after it with the knowledge that it's already there. It's like an Easter egg hunt. The kids don't mind hunting around the yard because they know the egg is there. Okay? And they know it's in the yard. Right? The Course says what we do is we try to go out and fulfill ourselves based on the idea that the lack is real. And so that's why we don't find it, because our core belief is that it's not there. And we're looking for it. So we're looking for something that we believe is not there, so we never find it. Which is different from looking for the Easter egg that you know they've already put in the yard. And you'd be very patient about that because you know the eggs are there. Different little twist, but it makes all the difference in the world in manifesting. You know, if you're seeking love because you know it's there but you have some blocks, that's different from seeking love because you don't think it is in you. And you got to get it out there. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So any question about any of this before I go to the next paragraph?
Anybody else?
Mm-hmm.
You know, periodically you talk about liking the easy way.
Yeah.
Not liking the struggle.
Yeah.
So I want to ask, is this part of the easy way, admitting that I have the little I and then being willing to go beyond that?
Oh, man, that's the easiest. Yes, sir, brother.
Part of the easy way.
Yeah, that's the easiest way, because now I recognize what the problem is, and I also recognize what the solution is, and I realize they're both in the same place. They're in me. So that's got to be easier than me thinking the problem is in you and the answer's in you and you don't even like me. You're right, and so I got to change you. But it's amazing. Isn't it amazing how our mind really believes that it's easier to have our happiness through getting the other person to change? Isn't it a trip?
But there's deep hope there, being willing to go beyond that to the realness.
Because it's really there.
Yeah.
You know, just because you don't know it doesn't mean it's not there. Isn't that a trip? Just because you don't know it doesn't mean it's not there. Yeah. Cool. Anybody else?
I'm pretty new to this. I'm at my first review session. And if I could say...
So you're bragging, huh?
So I'm saying the stuff is hitting the fan.
That's good.
And yesterday I cursed God and I, you know, I'm willing, blah, blah, blah. Where are you? And man, I was just like, this is... And from God, I went home, pulled it out, and called my friend, but I just am a little curious, and I don't know how it has to do with... Does that happen to everybody here? Because it really hit me hard.
Do you want your yes fast or slow? Yes.
It's a good sign.
I don't really believe anyone that really studies the Course in Miracles would really study the Course in Miracles and at some point in time not have something come up. So it really does make you feel like the stuff has hit the fan. It really does bring up any subconscious anger and fear that you may be having. It does bring up everything to be released, and that's very, very normal. The challenge is, since we're in a feel good society, the challenge is, will I keep on going to the truth for the truth, even though I'm going through this period of disorientation and confusion? Because the Course teaches that the body's comfort is our guiding rule. All we want to be is comfortable. And so anything that doesn't make us feel comfortable, we shy away from. Real deep truth study does not always make us feel comfortable. That's why people are much more attracted to classes that are about manifesting dreams and fantasies than they are to classes that have to do with getting in touch with the deep-rooted fears and insecurities and blocks that need to be released to know ourselves and God. That's why my hat goes off to people who do this kind of work. Because it really does take being willing to go, you know what, I've gotten to the Course in Miracles and found out, the first thing I found out was, I was nearly as nice as I thought I was. That was the very first thing I got. It's like, my God, I thought I knew how to love. I don't know how to love. I'm really just looking out for myself. I'm really just projecting. I really got a ton of scripts with everybody around me that I get upset if they don't. I got some grievances that I haven't taken a look at. My God, I didn't know I had that much guilt inside of me. You know, all of a sudden, it made me, by shooting so much love out to me, it made me aware of everything in me that was the opposite of that. And the biggest thing it made me aware of was I didn't really believe in God. That whenever this book talked to me like I really should believe there is a higher power that's capable of guiding me and taking care of me and directing me, I would find that's when I would just really fake out. That's when I would, when it was that stuff like, give this to the Holy Spirit, I realized that to a part of my mind, it was just like this book saying, do nothing. As soon as it would say, give it to God or go to God, I would be like, and? You know, and then what am I going to do? You know what I'm saying? It's like, I would look at it like that was the solution in and of itself. You know, so you're going through all the stages that you go through in the beginning, before you start to move toward the peace that it promises. And the temptation at the beginning is to abandon it because it gets so intense at first. And it does at first, if you're really doing it. Now, if you're not really doing it, then, you know, you don't really have an effect. But if you're really doing it, you're going to hear something that's totally opposite of what your ego believes. You know, there's just no way. So I'm with you any way I can support you in staying on it. I'd be glad to do that because it's not going to be many things that you're going to go through. Anybody in here, if they're really studying this book, that after 25 years of working with people with the book, that's not going to be something that I've heard or seen before many, many times, and also seen many people go past it many, many times. So I can give you the shortcut if you want it. But your ego is going to fight me every inch of the way because you're special. And your particular thing is different from anybody else's. And this is the big one. The rest of them wasn't, but the thing I'm dealing with now, this is the big, like, oh, you know, like Fred Sampson. This is Sampson. This is the big one. This is the big one here. And notice how everyone is the big one. And then you get it solved for a second, then the next thing comes up, and I'll tell you, like, the world is going to come to an end again. And then it happens, you know, you find out 3 years later, you're still alive. Then the next thing, you know. 99% of everything we're ever afraid is going to happen to us never happened. Percent of the things we thought about since we've been born that we would have worried about never happened. If we be honest with ourselves. Mm-hmm. But the next one, that's the one.
Don't you think that comes from conditioning? I mean, when you're from the time you can speak, you know, your parents are saying, don't come to the street. I always remember the Christmas story, you know, like he wanted that BB gun. Oh, you're going to shoot your eye out.
Just that was the first thing you're going to do is get the BB gun, stand in front and say, pow! You know, it's like it's a done deal. And see, which goes right back to this, to the sentence I read before. The world we see merely reflects our own internal frame of reference, dominant ideas, wishes, emotions, and thoughts. You're absolutely right. And then we see a world. That's what the book is saying. Yes, you're absolutely right. What we're seeing is our conditioning. But we're smart enough to give ourselves new learning if we open to it. Mm-hmm.
Last night, I just sort of out of the blue, I started down that slippery slope to despair, the thing where all the thoughts in my mind all of a sudden were talking about the, oh, look, you did that again refrain.
Mm-hmm.
And you know where this ends up and blah, blah, blah. And I know where that road leads. It just leads to the pit.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you know, it's always gone by morning, blah, blah, blah. And then I said, well, you know, Earl's talked about depression before. So I went and I sat down and I just started the, I wish to see this differently.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
mm-hmm.
willing to see it differently. And then all the fear came up. And then I said, I want to be released from fear. And I just went through that
mm-hmm.
process. And in my mind, I kept singing. Ever since Beth was here, I've been singing the refrain from that song.
Mm-hmm.
Every hour of every day, let me walk the peaceful way.
Yeah.
And that was running through my mind full tilt. And honest to goodness, about 10 minutes later, I got up and I went into the living room and I picked up the living room because that was what was started. It was, oh, look, your living room looks like trash again. And I just picked up the living room. I got myself a glass of water and I made a sandwich and then I went to bed and I was fine.
Thank you.
And
so you applied, you did the unthinkable. You applied the ideas.
I did.
Oh, well, you got to watch that now. You got to watch that.
It
works. I know. It always works.
And
when you use it.
When I did it the first time, you know, it was just a bunch of us doing it on our own. We didn't know what we were doing.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't learn that
mm-hmm.
somehow. And you know, you just sort of pound it into people here, and so I had learned it. And it worked.
Yeah.
I didn't fall into despair. I just picked up the living room and went to bed.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not, when I say, when I talk about how my life has changed, I'm not at all trying to pretend like I'm this guy that's arrived and I don't still have an ego. The only thing that I'm saying is that I'm, because of the length of time I worked on it, I'm more willing to use the tools than most people that have not. And so I get the result. So it's not that I'm different. Only difference is I'm more willing to do, I just do what she does more and faster. Where my ego just wants me to endlessly try to analyze the situation, and my ego is always trying to give me catastrophic things that are going to happen to me all the time. That's a part of my mind. Like you said, it upset you about the house, and it would have chose something else if the house had been straightened. So even though it was good you cleaned the house up, but the house not being cleaned up was not the cause of your conflict. And that's when you were awakening, when you realize your conflict didn't have anything to do with the house not being made up, and that straightening the house up didn't have anything to do with your peace. What happened was, according to the Course, the meaning you gave to the house being messed up upset you, and then the meaning you gave to the house being cleaned up makes you feel better. So it's the meaning.
Yeah, the peace came before I
Mm-hmm. Right, but I'm just saying that for those of us who believe that the physical thing is what brings the peace, is that, yeah, you showed through what you went through, it came back to what she told herself. It came back to the mental process that was going on inside of her. That's what's so cool. Then you're going to be okay either way it goes. And since you, then it becomes, I prefer to have a house that's cleaned up rather than a house that's messed up. So out of my preference, I'll clean the house up. But it certainly doesn't have anything to do with my value. You know, in that case, I'm doomed. Yeah, if you got to have every little piece in place every second for you to be okay, then yeah, I'm done for. Because I'm not that way. I'm not a needle person. I'm not a dirty person, but I'm not a needle person.
But that not. Comes from free. It comes from what you grew up with and what the thoughts of the people you grew up with and what that was instilled in you.
Right.
You know, because it's like you go in somebody's house, mm-hmm. or as you're growing up, you know, and you go home and your parents are like, did you see that? It was just a mess. That there's not something right. There's something not right there. Mm-hmm. You know, so you learn that if your house isn't neat as a pin,
mm-hmm.
even if it drives you crazy, mm-hmm. clean, mm-hmm. and be neat, that's what's right or wrong.
And the key word of what you said was learn. The key word is learn. The Course says perception is learning. So we are perceiving what we've learned. And that's when I started to feel so good on the spiritual path, when I realized it wasn't necessarily wrong, it wasn't necessarily bad, it was just what I learned. And the error is we take what we've learned to be the truth when it's not the truth. It's not the truth. It's not the truth. Then the Course says, well, how do you know it's not the truth? You don't have no peace. That's how you know it's not the truth. You don't have any peace. Okay, so let's go to the next paragraph then. Thank you for sharing. I appreciate that. I love on Wednesday when we get a chance to communicate. What I love about everybody communicating is that they're not trying to turn it into a therapy session. They're just trying to get clarification. And I thank you so much for that. I hate to go to Course classes and they turn into therapy sessions. But it's great to see them, to see how we're applying the principles and how we can apply the principles. It's different from me defending my position about how much of a problem my boss is. You know what I'm saying? Because it's never got anything to do with anything external. Your unhappiness never has anything to do with anything external. It seems like it, but it doesn't. It seems like it, but it doesn't. He says the special relationships of the world are destructive, selfish, and childishly egocentric. Well, that pretty much covers the donut. That was pretty gentle, wasn't it? So our relationships are destructive, our relationships are selfish, and our relationships are childishly egocentric. And I'm willing to admit that's exactly the way I did relationships. I was totally selfish and totally egocentric. I thought all my relationships had one purpose, and that was to act out my fantasies. To please me. That's what I thought it was about. I had a fantasy and I was going to get with you and you and we were going to get my fantasy done. Anybody else? Oh, okay. So, all right. Good. Good. Okay. And then it says, now, if given to the Holy Spirit, these relationships can become the holiest things on earth. Hello, if given to the same mind, which of course calls the Holy Spirit, said your special relationships can be the coolest things on earth. And then he describes what that is. The miracles that point the way to the return to heaven. The world uses its special relationships as a final weapon of exclusion and a demonstration of separateness. The ego uses our special relationships as a final weapon of exclusion and a demonstration of separateness. The Holy Spirit transforms our relationships into perfect lessons in forgiveness and in awakening from this dream of fear. Of course, it's called the dream of fear. Okay? He said, each special relationship is an opportunity to let perceptions be healed and errors corrected. Each special relationship is another chance to forgive oneself by forgiving the other, and each special relationship becomes still another invitation to the Holy Spirit and the remembrance of God. See, that was another totally full paragraph that said everything all in one paragraph. All right, so I don't know how to be a loving person. I don't really know how to do it right. I want everybody to act out my fantasies, but the truth is, those same relationships, if I would give it to the part of me that wants to practice the Course, or the part of me that wants to practice the truth, those very same relationships could become a miracle that points the way to everything that I could ever dream of to make me happy. It could be used as an opportunity to let myself be healed. It could be used as another chance to forgive myself. It could be used as an invitation to love and happiness and the Creator to come to my life. That my same special relationship, instead of being a weapon for exclusion and separation, instead of being used for drama and conflict, could be used to point the way to everything that I've ever, ever wanted to feel, ever wanted to know, and ever wanted to experience. Any questions about that paragraph?
Well, but that special relationship could be your job. It's not necessarily a person, right?
Right.
It could be your... Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Of course, it's basically a special relationship is any a relationship with anything where you would give your peace away about not having it. That's a good definition. If I got a special relationship with money, then I'm using it in a childish, destructive, egocentric way. You're right. If I got a special relationship with my car, I'm using it in a childish, destructive, egocentric way. But my car could be used to bring me to a Course class that reminds me that I'm innocent and brings me to a state of peace. You see what I'm saying? My car, everything, my television could be used to show me a Wayne Dyer special that's telling me about how to get in touch with my inner self. So everything I'm using to hurt myself could be used to really bring some joy into my life. So there's no sacrifice on this path. That's why that whole idea that you got to give up the things that you love in order to be happy is wrong. You just have to give a new purpose to everything you got. You got to go, I want everything in my life to be used for my awakening and awakening of. I want everything in my life to bring joy to me and joy to everybody else. I want everything in my life to bring abundance to me and abundance to everybody else. I want everything in my life to remind me of God and the truth. That includes my tape recorder, my book, my car, my glasses, my shoes, everything I want to be used to bring me to a greater level of love. Now I haven't sacrificed one single thing in my physical world, but I'm no longer going to be using it to hurt myself either. I'm glad that was good news. I love how we get so thrilled by all the good stuff. That's amazing. No, because the ego is a part of us. I got to lose. There's got to be somewhere that I lose. There's got to be something about, you know what I'm saying? It's got to be a trick. There's somewhere I lose in this because I haven't been able to pull it off. I have my stuff and I'm not happy. So
my
there's
wife
something
right now is saying that, you know, when you ask for something,
mm-hmm.
I've been studying for a long time too, but it's a process. And my mind right now is saying, but it may not be an easy ride. My ego right now is saying,
mm-hmm.
you know, I want everything in my life to be mm-hmm. used for my mm-hmm. awareness.
Right.
Woo-hoo.
Right.
Watch out what you ask for.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because
right.
it may not be comfortable.
And which I said at the top of the hour.
Exactly.
Right, right. And the funny thing about it...
This word sacrifice is coming up going, Okay, it's not a sacrifice, it's just an experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there's pain involved. There may be pain involved.
Mm-hmm. And he always says that we don't have to learn through pain, but we probably will. But the reason why we probably will is because we believe pain is necessary to grow. Because of the conditioning and the learning that you mentioned earlier. Okay, so that means that in the beginning we might give ourselves some pain, but the further we go along in the path, the less pain we're going to give ourselves, because the less we're going to believe the sacrifice and pain is necessary. That's the part to get, is that the further you go on the path, the less you'll be choosing for pain for yourself. But at the very beginning, you still are rooted in your old thought system. So of course you're going to create some unnecessary pain for yourself probably, because you really think it's necessary to grow.
Well, and it's your perception of the experience that causes your pain.
And we judge our spiritual progress by ego values. Like people think that they're not really getting it because if I'm really getting the truth, then my finances should increase. And if I'm really getting the truth, I should get a brand new mate. And if I'm really getting the truth, I should have a brand new house. And if I'm really getting the truth, my bills will... So we judge in our spiritual progress totally by ego values, by the worldly values.
External
stuff. And he's already saying, that's what your little eye does. But you should be judging your spiritual growth by the level of inner peace that you have. And how much personal responsibility you're taking for your experience. That's how you judge spiritual progress. How much joy are you allowing yourself to have every day? That's how you judge spiritual growth, not by stuff. So if you think, I've been studying the course all these years, but I still live in the same house that I lived in 6 years ago, so evidently I must not be getting it, then you're looking at it from a wrong perception. But if you have more peace about living in the house that you've been living in for the last 6 years, now you're getting it. And at the same time, you open to having something else that's even better. Like I said, God loves you the way you are, but loves you too much to let you stay that way. Thank God. Okay. All right, let's go to the next one then. I love questions because I know it's easy to frighten yourself away from the course. I know it's really easy for the ego to frighten a person right away from it. And nothing is funny is that, like you were saying about your mind telling you about, you know, it could be very tough, or the sacrifices that you'd have to make. And that's funny because the one thing we ought not really be freaking out about is the idea of it having any kind of pain or some kind of a struggle. I mean, there's not anything that we're used to that we know that. We already know that. I don't see why we're so trippy about the idea of not always being comfortable. We know what it's like to not always be comfortable. So it's almost like it's saying, be willing to feel the way you feel all the time for a little bit longer, but for a better reason. You know, you already know what it feels like to feel disoriented or confused and not necessarily happy. So when you're studying the truth and that feeling comes up, you're not really experiencing anything other than what you've already experienced. It's not like you're experiencing something that's totally brand new. But now I'm willing to experience this discomfort long enough to move toward the truth. Ha, now that's smart. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when I'm around my friends who are going through difficulties, and I feel so good, I feel guilty.
That's my point, is that the ego is the part of you that no matter what you do, that's on the same level as when I said earlier about if you get the brand new car but you still got the belief in guilt, you're still going to be miserable with the brand new car. Mm-hmm. You still got the belief in guilt, so even though you're feeling better, you make yourself feel guilty about feeling better, which means I'm still being run by the belief that somehow another pain and guilt somehow makes me a good person. That's why I feel guilty. Because I think feeling guilty is good. You don't say, I'm doing better than my friends. I'm going to feel guilty about that. Because being guilty is how you correct things. Being guilty is how I heal things. Being guilty is how I'm a really good person. So we don't realize that we have an investment in guilt. And we think guilt makes us a better person. That if I didn't feel guilty, I'd run amok. And the truth is saying to us, the world is running amok because everybody feels guilty. That's why it's so insane. So yeah, you when you feel, but just try to remember that your function in this world is to feel good around your friends. That the most healing thing you could possibly do for your friends is for you to have a peaceful, happy life yourself. Because that makes you a shining example of the alternative that they can also have and they can also choose. Which they would not see if you were joining them in the suffering. They wouldn't even see there was an alternative. So you're the one that is bringing more healing into the situation than people who join in the suffering and call it empathy.
Well,
you hurting, I hurt with you, and that makes me a good person. Now it's just, now both of us are suffering. And it's not lifting your suffering at all for me to suffer with you. But what we, the Course says, we call empathy is joining in the suffering. He says, and that's what we must refuse to understand. We must refuse to understand joining in the suffering. You are there to show that there's something beyond suffering.
But I'm in a situation with several of my friends where they're pretty much half supporting me financially right now while I'm going through this financial thing.
Uh-huh.
And so when I haven't been at work all day because I'm not able to work that day, and they've been at work all day and they've had just a horrible time and they're worn out and they're frazzled and everything, and then here I come and I'm all peaceful and happy, which doesn't necessarily have to do with my not being at work. I'm just peaceful and happy. And then I start feeling bad because they've been out there being frazzled, earning money, some of which they're going to give to me, and it's like, well, then I have no right to sit here being peaceful and joyful while they're out there earning half my living. It gets...
No, I understand what you're saying, but it's the exact same thing that I just got to saying, though. It's still you thinking that there's a scarcity in you at some level, and that you need them in order for you to fulfill and be okay. So you're feeling guilty because you're feeling guilty because you've lost sight of the fact that your job is to be peaceful within yourself, and you cannot be responsible for how somebody else may perceive your peace, but what they need to see is peace. So you have to ask yourself, what is it within me that does not want me to feel peace? Because it doesn't have anything to do with them at all. What you're doing is coming up with justifications for keeping your guilt going and coming up with justifications for not feeling good. That's what, that, you know what I'm saying? Remember, again, I drive you crazy in the book because I go back to stuff. Because that's what we need to do in here. It's just like when he says, you're going to try to make it the way, you're going to try to make it the truth as you see it. So you, right now you're seeing it as if there's something wrong with you feeling good with your friends working. So now your ego is trying to make that true as you see it by giving all the reasons why you should feel bad about feeling good while they're working. So you're getting a direct expression of what the Course in Miracles just said. You've decided what you want to see, you know, which is not okay for you to feel good with them working. Okay, that's your decision, right? So what is the ego doing now? What is your perception doing? It's trying to do everything it can to justify you not feeling okay with them working.
And seeing them as suffering.
Right. So this is what I'm saying is that if you were to realize that process is what's going on, that's the healing that the Course is talking about. It's not about me giving you advice about how to deal with your friends. It's really about you understanding the process that you're taking yourself through in order to justify your not being happy because you don't think you deserve to be happy and you don't think you deserve to have people supporting you and taking care of you. So therefore, if I feel bad about it, then it makes me a better person about accepting all this stuff. Because the worst thing here, how could I be a good person if I'm sitting here feeling cooled out and they're going out and they're helping me? So the least I can do, since they're suffering all day, I'll suffer too. And so I'll just make myself feel bad. Now we all suffering all day, and then I can feel okay about what they give me.
Right. Have a miserable day.
And yeah, so I'll have a miserable day because they had a miserable day. Since we both had a miserable day, then I can feel okay about what you're giving me because I feel miserable too.
The ego is really
It is nothing but a way of thinking. It's just a way of looking at things. And the Course is trying to make us aware of that process. Because after a while, you'll catch it. And you won't take yourself through that. That's the beauty of studying the Course in Miracles. Because what happened is you realize you act out that thing, not just with your friends, but you also start to get in touch with where you're acting out that same thing in every other area of your life, right? So you'll start letting go of that mental process,
and then you have the peace. That was done last night too, wasn't it?
Right, the exact same process. You had to feel bad about the house not being straight. Now, just like you had to feel bad about your friends working, right? But the answer is the same. You could have went through that same, you can go through that same process
about your friends working and you being at home as you did last night about the room not being straight. And it'll take you straight to the same level of peace. I want another way of seeing this. I want you to show me how to release the guilt in this. You know, I want to choose the peaceful way. You know, so yeah. And that's, you know, do you know that that freaks the ego out? That nothing freaks the ego out more than when you reach that point on the spiritual path that you realize there's one problem that's taken a lot of different appearances, and then there's one solution that you'd apply to all these appearances, because the ego is the part of the mind that wants to find a lot of different answers and a lot of different solutions, because when you do that, you can look for so many of them, you never apply any of them. Because, you know what I'm saying? Because there's so many answers, I don't even know where I'm going to find it. See, so the ego loves seekers who jump from one thing to another thing to another thing to another thing to another thing. It's like reading 9,000 instruction books but never putting anything together. Right? But for you to go, oh, okay, this is just another way that my mind is trying to convince me that I'm not the Holy Son of God and I deserve peace. This is just another situation that's trying to make me think guilt and feeling bad is the answer. How do I know that? Because of the way I feel. So the answer's got to be the same thing. I've got to give myself another way of looking at it. I've got to take myself to that process. And I've got to understand, I've got to remember that my function, this is very important, my function is to be happy. Your function, and here's a big one. It is not your friends who are taking care of you. Okay? It's not your friends that are taking care of you. That's the love that you have for yourself coming back to you. That's what's taking care of you, is the love you have for God and yourself. It took the form of your friends being a channel for that love. But if your friends decided they weren't going to be a channel for that love, but you still believe you deserved it, that love and that support would come to you through somebody or something else. Nothing can stop your good. And we get addicted to the form it comes through instead of realizing that it's the content that's important. You loving yourself, you have, think about how your friends must feel about you, or the love that must be coming through for them to do that, right? So you need to see them as strong and beautiful and incredible, instead of seeing them as going out all day suffering in order to help you. See what I'm saying? That would be the more loving perception, is how capable they are and how powerful they are and how blessed you are and how grateful you are. And then you would think of the things, you just had to do something, then you would think of the things you could do to show them your appreciation in a way that would make their day easier when they came home. All right, I'm going to stop here. While I still can. Oh, God, the Course in Miracles is such a trip. It says more in one paragraph than a lot of books I read, the whole book. Just like those three paragraphs we covered today. If we mastered those three paragraphs, our whole life would transform. We just remembered those three paragraphs we heard today, because it covered everything: the holy relationship, the special relationship, how to deal with the idea of scarcity. It just covered everything. It covered so much. We covered so much. Thank you for sharing with me, and we're going to do the love offering. Thank you for being willing to show your appreciation in the form of money. Especially since best for my heart, because I teach full time the Course in Miracles, and this place has to be paid for, and it has expenses and everything else. And part of showing our appreciation for it is the gift of what it gives to us and what we receive blessing through. So I really appreciate that. I really appreciate people who give. And it's not saying if you don't put something, I never look at the bag right away. I don't ever know who gives to me. I make a point not to look. I used to, but it got too thoroughly depressing. So I stopped years ago. Because it really doesn't matter, ultimately. Because I'm gonna receive what I ask for. I'm gonna receive what I deserve. I'm gonna receive what God gives me, ultimately. So I just want you to know I appreciate it. I really do, and I appreciate you. Especially because we've been going a lot deeper in the course and working more diligently out of the book. I just want to acknowledge you for that. I really do. I want to acknowledge you all for being my saviors, for being willing to want to be more loving yourself so that you can extend more love. I appreciate you opening yourself up to receive more, because the Course says one of our biggest problems is that our capacity to receive isn't what it should be, and that God can't give incompletely. So if I don't really want it, I can't really have it. I won't let it come in. And even if I had it, I wouldn't even know it. So we're really increasing our capacity to receive. So I want to witness to joy. I'd like to say right now I feel grateful. I feel blessed. I feel loved. I feel happy. I have great relationships. I have great people that come to the classes that I teach. My life is not full of pain or conflict in this moment. And I want to acknowledge that. I want to outwardly acknowledge that to the universe. I want to outwardly acknowledge that to you all and to myself. I want to share the loving thought. So thank you. Thank you for being there. Thank you for being you. I mean that. Okay?
Thank you, girl.
Thank you.
And so tomorrow night is the next class at 7 o'clock, 7 to 8. And then Sunday at from 1 to 2, I do another class. And if you want copies of the day's CDs, they're $5 prepaid, and just put the date of the class and I'll make a CD and then I'll bring it back to the next class for you. They are real car friendly and like to clean up at night, perfect thing to do. Put some truth on. Because I don't even remember most of the things I say. I really don't. I listen back to my classes and I'll be just as amazed at what came through me as anybody else. So I know that we probably forget most of what we hear. And so to give yourself an opportunity to remember it, especially when you get upset, is really cool. Because when you get upset, that's when he said, that's when the Course said you need it the most, but it's also when you're most likely not to listen to it. Have you ever noticed that? It's when I get mad, I just get mad and go, I don't want to hear that stuff right now. You ever done that? You know, you get mad, you go, I don't want to hear that. You know, because I want to be mad.
Yeah.
That's what will help me. So you all are powerful. I hope you'll be able to handle the cool stuff that's coming your way as you continue to let go of your guilt.
Are you teaching on Tuesdays anymore over at the South?
Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm. I'm just doing these three classes.
Tomorrow night is here?
Uh-huh. Tomorrow night is here at 7 o'clock. And so I'd love to see you. We got a great Thursday night group. All the groups are great. You're great.